Take your Bibles now and turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Last Sunday night, I kind of had a heart-to-heart talk with you, and I want to do so again this evening. John chapter 16 and verse 33. These things have I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let's pray now. Our Father, Lord, thank you that you're the God of all comfort, and I pray that you'd use us tonight to draw us closer to thee and closer together and comfort for thy people, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk a while tonight on a subject. It's rough on everybody. Do you understand that? It's rough on everybody. You think it's just raining on you, I have news for you. It's raining on the other side, too. It's rough on everybody. And I want to talk to you about this tonight in a little different approach. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. Not strange, it belongs to mankind. Acts 14:23, there's a promise. It says, it reads this way. Now let me read and you just listen, because I'll read very few scriptures tonight, and that's different about my sermons, but tonight I want to chat with you a little bit. In Acts 14:23, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Much tribulation. Now I say honestly, without fear of contradiction, that I'm not lying, I'd far rather go on a bomb run under aircraft, anti-aircraft being fired at me any time than some of the battles that I've been in since I've been a Christian. That was Boy Scout stuff that I was in the physical, compared to that in the spiritual realm. Now, it's a promise of God that we through much tribulation will enter the kingdom of God. One other passage, 1 Peter chapter 5. And you can turn to that passage, 1 Peter chapter 5, a verse that meant much to me in my early life, still does, 1 Peter 5, and verse 7 through verse 10. And then I want to talk with you a little while. First Peter 5, verse 7, page 1315 in an old Schofield. Okay. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober. That means you better be alert. That particular doesn't have anything to do with the bottle. You ought to be sober. But this is talking about be sober-minded. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing. Now here you get comfort out of this, if you'll understand it. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. It's raining on the other side, what he said. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. All right, here's the number one point, very simply. All people, all God's people need encouragement. All God's people need encouragement. Why? Because all sides it's raining on. And what if it is, then everybody needs encouragement. Now, I stood this afternoon, and the choir didn't know what I was doing, but I stood and I went through the choir. If I stood here tonight and I'd go up one row and down the other row, I could tell about to this congregation, which I not do, but I know joys and sorrows, and I know things been told me, never told anybody, about this congregation tonight. I'm not talking about something to hurt, but I've heard their agony. I've heard their griefs. I've heard this brother's grief and sorrow. I've heard others. And standard equipment in my study is a box of Kleenex. Not because people have hay fever or colds, but because of the fact. If the walls of my study could tell you what they have heard, we'd be deeply moved tonight and realize, everybody, it's rough on everybody. If it's rough on everybody, then we ought to realize and we ought to love one another and we ought to try to make it easy as possible on everybody. Now, all need encouragement. Now, I've been here almost 19 years. Now, I've grown a little bit in several different ways. But I don't like to rebuke you. Early in the ministry, there's no problem about, taking the hide off and salting it and putting it on a wall. Now, I may do that now, but I don't like it. I love you more than I loved you 18, 19 years ago. I've heard your griefs and your sorrows, and I know much of them. And the matter, if anybody's going to take the hide off, I want it to be me. I don't like anybody else doing that. That's my people. That's my flock. Go easy on them. Now, all need encouragement. Let's just think of just a little while tonight. There are members of our church who live, and I'm just talking tonight. You can call it talk, preaching if you want to. It's different than I normally do. I generally get my exercise when I'm preaching, but I won't tonight. We have members of our church that live with pain 24 hours a day. They live with this thing called physical pain. I don't know how many years Billy Joe Mullis has had pain. I don't know. But this I do know. He's had one operation after another, and he still lives with pain. Debbie Mueller said, I never remember a day when my mother was well. Only memories I have is that my mother always being sick. Now, when you live with a physical illness and you live with pain, I'll assure you there's not many people rejoice and have victory amidst pain. I think of Dr. Jack Hudson. He's not a member of our church, but if he met the qualifications, we'd let him join. But Dr. Jack Hudson, I suppose, and he preached on playing when it's hurt, and I gave that book away, Playing Hurt. I believe that's the title of it, and I don't know anybody in the Southwide Baptist Fellowship more qualified to write that book than Dr. Jack Hudson. He lives with pain, and yet you never hear him talking about pain, and on his face you see a smile, and that dear brother has lived with pain the years that I've known him. It's rough. And what? All people need encouragement, and our members who live with pain and live with disease. There are others of us who live with terminal illness. Now, I don't know how I'd act, and you don't have any idea how you would act with death sentence written over your house. I think about Pam Mateer, and I know a lot about Pam Mateer. You don't know about Pam Mateer. Pam Mateer and a little soldier lived and died with cancer and had one surgery after another and all sorts of cobalt and treatment. I stood by her bedside and I got beyond that front of a little soldier and I discovered, you know, somebody who's afraid and somebody who had problems and somebody who had real, real wrestling with their faith. Here she is. Has four children. She goes to be with the Lord, and her youngest one is still, I suppose, in diapers, a little over, maybe not in diapers, between 2 and 3 years old, if I remember correctly. And here she is. Children need a mama, and mama's ill, and mama won't be here, and a death sentence is there, and she refused cobalt until the fluid rose in her lungs, and she was about to suffocate and to drown, and then she had cobalt again. Now, those who live with terminal illness, Eddie Foran, I talked with Eddie. Many of you saw Eddie. Now, you must remember, and sitting here tonight, there'll be some of us that terminal illness will be written across our homes in the days ahead. That's just the law of averages. Now, it's rough on everybody. Now, it may not hit you like it hits everybody else, but you rest assured it'll hit you. There's no life excluded from this thing called tribulation. We, through much tribulation, shall enter the kingdom of God. It's part of life. Then I think about the folks who sit here tonight. Their mates are gone. And death's invaded. And there's an empty chair. And there's Miss Bragg there. And Mrs. Dobson this morning. Miss Larson last week. And Ronnie, Sandy Meek's grandmother going to be with the Lord. And I look across the congregation and others more recent than that. And the Robson family, Granny Robson. And death's invaded. It's rough on everybody. And there's an empty chair. And there's room in some house that's shut away. And the memories of days gone by, and memories of a life, and little pair of booties a little baby taken to be with the Lord. And there's a cemetery lot that people go out and they visit and they put flowers on it. It's rough on everybody. And then I think about Aloma here, her sister's little boy. They wonder what was wrong with him, and how old is he, Aloma? He's 3 years old. He's autistic. He draws in and from reality and lives inside. But the other day, they are examining him something else. They think he might have multiple sclerosis now. 3 years old. I think about that little boy. If that's my boy, it crushed my heart. Little boy's drawn within himself, and I can't communicate with him, and I can't reach him, and I can't tell him I love him, and it really gets through to him. That'd tear my heart out. And I think about the disfigurement, some born disfigured. It's rough on everybody. It's rough on everybody. I think about some folks here that had a good job. And you know who I'm talking about. Everybody won't know, but the individual who had a good job. And one day they come in my office and put their head in their hands, and they're in midlife, and they've lost their job and have to start all over. Can you imagine, lose everything that you have and a job and at midlife, midway in life, and all of a sudden you start at the bottom and start all over again? Can you think of the tremendous shock and the trauma? Can you think about that? There are folks sitting here tonight know exactly what that's all about. It's rough on everybody. Are there others who are here tonight? Maybe you're young now, or maybe you're older now, but early in life, adult responsibility was put upon your young shoulders. Daddy was gone, and you had to carry the load of a family, and you carried the responsibility. You had to make a living for mama and sister, and you didn't know what teenage years were like because you never had time to be a teenager. You were a man early in life. It's rough on everybody. And others who've been deserted by their mate. Folks walked in, said, my mate walked in, didn't say anything, said, I just don't love you anymore. Goodbye. And out of the clear blue sky, this young man sang tonight. I heard him tell his story. He's deserted. Now, it's rough on everybody. Husbands are... And wives have left, and here's a husband or a wife with the children to take care of them. One party copped out and one gone. I'll tell you, it's rough on everybody. I think about martyr wives. I think of women who fell in love with somebody and said, death to us part. And that man has squeezed every bit of joy and every bit of life and every bit of vitality and everything, drained that individual, and there's nothing left. And there are women who are members of this church who live a living death. There's never I love you. There's not a word of kindness. There's never a word of encouragement. There's never a word of appreciation. I think of ladies... who men have talked to me, the ladies have talked to me, and this has not happened to me, the member of the church, but oh my, what they've gone through. They've lived with a drunkard, and he spent everything that he could get for alcohol, and then the gambling, spent everything he could get on gambling, and mortgaged the home, and mortgaged the car, and did everything else, and lost the job, and started all over, and wild rides at night, and times when a gun was cocked and put between their eyes and threatened. I can tell you just over and over again of the story. And I'm simply saying, folks, tonight, it's rough on everybody. It's rough on everybody. Then I think of the aging process. We're young, we're never going to get old. But some way, it just catches you. And those of us who are never going to get old, you heard the accent, didn't you? Those of us, Paul believed in the return of our Lord. He said, we which are alive and remain shall come, you know, shall not precede them that are asleep. Aging process. I don't think this will offend the dear lady, but I prayed with the lady this morning over in the flannograph room sitting right here. Irene Davis used to visit soul winning. Can't do that anymore. Something happened and wept and cried about that. And then Sunday school class and wept and cried and the visitation cut out and the Sunday school class cut out. And now she's about to lose the opportunity to even work in the flannograph room. It's rough on everybody. And there are folks whose minds are clear, but their body won't respond. I mean, that they think fast, but their hands and their legs won't keep up with them and their process. It's rough on everybody. I think of members tonight, tragedy. I think of a lady. I sat with her yesterday, some 30 minutes. Woman was raped, shot twice. Life will never be the same. An emotional wreck. And she told me what a comfort she was to somebody else, but she couldn't be a comfort to somebody else unless she drank deeply of the cup of bitter woe and sorrow. She was telling me about a lady who lost a young man, 16 years old, and he died of leukemia. And she said, I haven't seen her smile in months. And I told her if she needed somebody to talk to, she'd get on the phone and said, I'd be glad to talk to her. And the lady said, yes, sir. You will? I said, yes, I will. She said, I think I saw a little smile come into her lips. I listened to this tragedy, not repeated, but I've seen what tragedy. It's rough on everybody. I think of folks who lived an active life, very active, and now they're sitting in some nursing home somewhere. It's rough on everybody. I think of young people who live with critical parents, that they never do anything right. You see, it's not just all kids' problems, it's adult problems. And sometimes a boy or girl grows up in a home and they never do anything right. It's rough on everybody. I think of wives who have to carry the load. The husband's sick and unable to work. And they're carrying the whole responsibility and making the decisions for that home. It's rough on everybody. I think of parents who've given everything in the world they had to their children, and their children are ungrateful, never say thank you, and take everything they can get and more too. It's rough on everybody. And then I think of others who, in the midst of all that, are having tremendous conflict with their faith and their country. If you'll turn to the 73rd Psalm, and I'm just about through. The 73rd Psalm, here's a psalm where a man is afraid to air what he has to say, and so God put it in the Word of God so that you could hear from it and receive blessing from it. He said, now, if I really told what I was thinking, said, I'd offend somebody, so I'll keep my thoughts to myself. And there are folks here who you never would open your heart and mind and tell of the struggles that you've had with your faith and the doubts and the fears and the attack and the assault of your faith. Nobody'd ever guess it. And so God wrote it in the Word, and I read in the 73rd Psalm, I'm going to read through down to a few about verse 18. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as have a clean heart. It begins in with a statement, God's good. Now, verse 2, oh, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He said, I just about to fall on my face. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said, I was envious. And I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death. He said, I've watched them die, and their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Here's a child of faith watching the unsaved. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their very clothing is violent, and their pride and their attitude, their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish, my man. They don't have just the necessities. They have luxury upon luxury. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. He said, I've searched my heart, cleansed my heart, and I before God, all day long I've been plagued and chastened every morning. I can't get away with anything. God chastens me, and God corrects me. Now watch. If I say I will speak thus, he said, if I told out loud what all of the convulsions in my mind were going on, if I said this, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. I'd cause somebody else to stumble. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. He said, I got a long range look. And God's saying it's rough on everybody. Young people, it's rough on all young people. Adults, it's rough on all adults. Guys, it's rough on all men. Ladies, it's rough on all ladies. It's rough on everybody. Now, the main first point was what? All need encouragement. Number two, would you turn to 2 Corinthians 1, and we'd read verses 2 to 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. And four. My second main point tonight is this. All receive encouragement from the Lord if we look to Him. Now, what all need encouragement? God encourages His children. All right, now He'll do it in various ways. The Father encourages with His work. With His Word, excuse me. The Son encourages with His work when He did the cross. The Holy Spirit encourages us with His witness. Now, I read in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 3, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, compassions, the God of all comfort or encouragement, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, oh God, what happens? It's rough on everybody, and so God comforts His people. In His own time, He comforts His people. Now, why does He comfort His people? Well, He comforts them because He has compassion on them, but He comforts them, number three, all are to share the encouragement that you get with God, from God, you to share it with somebody else. Verse 4, Who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. What happens? God leads me through deep waters, and in the deep waters, God comforts me. Now, one day I come along and I find somebody in deep water, and I take the comfort that God gave to me, and I'm able to comfort them, and they look at me in amazement and said, I don't know. How did you know? How did you understand? And nobody ever talks to you with an understanding and rings your bell, and you wonder, how in the world did they know? I tell you how they know. They've been where you are. And God comforts us what? That the comfort that you get from God, you turn around and here's a brother has the same thing. And here, I've been through there. I've got comfort from God, and I'm able to put my arm around him and comfort him. Well, he gets comfort, and what happens? He walks through life, and he finds somebody in the same position, and what happens? He goes to this brother here and tells this brother, hey, God sustained me. I've been there. And he is a source of comfort to somebody else. And God never comforts you for that comfort to die with you. It's to be passed on to somebody else. Man, you see, when we get into trouble, we think, well, why am I? Turn to 2 Corinthians 7. We think there just nobody understands us, and that's what makes it so different. But there is somebody who understands you. There's somebody, if you just start talking, and they'd listen a little bit, they could tell you, now, if you'll just be quiet, I'll tell you the rest of the story. And they are quiet, and you tell them the story, and they say, how in the world did you know? Well, it just happens, the Scripture says, the same temptations or afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, and I've been there, and God comforted me, and God will see you through, and God will get you out, and God will take you to the other side. And what happened? Oh, my. I met somebody who's been where I've been, understands me, felt like I feel, and God brought him out. Well, he'll do the same for me. Now, here's the Apostle Paul. I wouldn't think, and sometimes people think, I don't know what, like somebody, Ms. Davis told me a while ago, that she's glad to hear that my children were normal. Of course, she looked at me and wondered how in the world they could be normal. And they said, I've heard preachers get normal. Being a preacher doesn't make them super men. I mean, they're just people. And sometimes we have the idea, oh my, he wouldn't understand me. I couldn't communicate with him. They don't understand me. Read the sermons and hear the preachers that touch your heart. And those preachers that touch your heart have walked where you walked and sat where you sat. And that's the reason they're able to minister to you. And you're a child of God tonight. You said, Lord, make me a blessing. Okay. I'll tell you what God will do. He'll make you a blessing, but you'll have to walk in some dark valleys and some dark shadows, for out of the fact of the dark shadows, you see, we want everything going our way and be our blessing. No, that's not God's way. God's way, what? You'll be a blessing, but you got to receive a blessing to be a blessing. And when you receive a blessing, you receive comfort, then you go to a suffering and a broken world, and what? Then you're able to give out of experience of life. It's very easy. Very easy to have all the answers, but never been there. That's, you know, like rearing children, and you stand up and you can tell everybody how to rear children, but you never had any. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, but they never had any. That's a little different. You sure have some experience. I can tell you a whole lot about rearing children, and I never got out of a book. And it's very easy to walk into the hospital room, and the doctor's just come back and said, you got terminal illness. And I said, cheer up, brother. You know all things work together for good to them that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. Yeah, that sounds mighty good. He doesn't hear it. He doesn't hear it. Sometimes I wonder if preachers know what they're doing. For instance, I don't know, but I doubt very seriously if much that's said at a funeral home is heard by those who are in shock. And a preacher stands up and preaches and preaches and on and on and on and on. And here folks dazed. Shocked. Still the reality of this death hadn't gripped their hearts and lives. And what happened? More than a sermon. They need the fact that I understand. Now I believe Romans 8:28. But there's a lot of Phariseeism It's easy for you to walk up to the scriptures, and that's what I've done, and you do the same thing, and it's easy for us to take the scriptures and go to somebody and their problem, say, here's what the Bible says, here's what the Bible says, and that is what the Bible says, and that's what you to do, but oh, my. When I've been where the Bible gave verses to help, when I've been there, it's a whole lot different. It's a whole lot different. It's like Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I heard him talk about, he said, I went and prayed with folks who went to surgery. And I prayed, now God be with you, dear brother. God will be with you. He said, one day, I'm going to surgery. He said, it's different. Somebody came in to pray with him and said, how are you? He said, I'm scared to death. And I appreciate Dr. McGee because he's honest. He said, I'm scared to death. And it's just different when you're on the meat wagon and they've given you your happy shot and you're going to surgery. It's a whole lot different when you're there and when you open the Bible and read, now, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And you're going back out in the waiting room and sit down. It's a whole lot different going to the surgery room than to the waiting room. Now, but if you've been to the surgery room, you say, now, God will be with you. I know what the Bible says there, but I've been there. And this is what the Lord did for me. And that's why God gives us experiences. We want to be a blessing. Then what happens? God breaks us and God allows things to happen. And out of it, we get sweetness and we take that sweetness. And you say, Lord, make me a blessing. And we hand it to somebody else. Somebody told me, I can't verify this, but somebody told me Dr. Lee Robertson never preached until he lost his child, his baby. So he preached, but he preached differently. Blessings, and what happens? We have to know what it is, be in need. Look at 2 Corinthians 7, and this is it. Verse 5. You wouldn't think Paul needed any encouragement. Why, man, he'd been to heaven, caught up to heaven, third heaven. Who would want to encourage him? Why? He'd never get down in the dumps. Well, I read about it in 2 Corinthians 7. For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. That's physical. But we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings. Within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. Paul was cast down. God sent Titus around the sea. Now let me say this one little thing, and I'm through. Do you know when people come to you for encouragement and they, it's when you don't feel like encouraging them? Now God's encouraged you way back there, and then they come and unload on you, and man, that's the time. Man, you feel like, why come to me? Well, you've already gotten encouragement from way back there. What do? You take and you give to them the encouragement when you don't feel like encouraging. And there's where we miss it. We don't want to encourage somebody else because we're wrapped up in our present problems, and God gave you the past problems and deliverance to help somebody else with their present problems. And while we're trying to encourage somebody, we're incurring some more problems. And all along, God's letting us build experience to pass it on, to pass it on, to pass it on, to pass it on, to pass it on. Has anybody sent somebody to your house? Has God comforted you by a knock on the door, by a telephone call, by a letter or a visit, and somebody lifted you up? It's rough on everybody. And since it's rough on everybody, we need each other. Do you know that? We need each other. And we need each other, then let's help each other. Let's encourage one another. Let's lift up one another. Because it's rough